Quam, your lordship, karmanam, of the prescribed duties, amangala, O most auspicious, mangalanam, of the auspicious, kartuhu, of the performer, swalokam, respective higher planetary systems, tanushe, expand, swa, heavenly planets, param, transcendental world, va, or amangalanam, of the inauspicious, cha, and tamisram, the name of a particular hell, ulbanam, ghastly, viparya, the opposite, kena, why? Tat eva, certainly that. Kasyachit, for someone. Translation. O most auspicious Lord, you have ordained the heavenly planets, the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, and the impersonal Brahman sphere as the respective destinations of the performers of auspicious activities. Similarly, for others who are miscreants, you have destined different kinds of hells, which are horrible and ghastly. Yet sometimes it is found that their destinations are just the opposite. It is very difficult to ascertain the cause of this. So do you repeat this responsibly, the verse, usually here or no? Usually you do that. Okay. Please repeat. O most auspicious Lord, you have ordained the heavenly planets, the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, and the impersonal Brahman sphere as the respective destinations of the performers of auspicious activities. Similarly, for others who are miscreants, you have destined different kinds of hells, which are horrible and ghastly. Yet sometimes it is found that their destinations are just the opposite. It is very difficult to ascertain the cause of this. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called the Supreme Will. It is by the Supreme Will that everything is happening. It is said, therefore, that not a blade of grass moves without the Supreme Will. Generally, it is prescribed that performers of pious activities are promoted to the higher planetary systems, devotees are promoted to the Vaikunthas, or spiritual worlds, and impersonal speculators are promoted to the impersonal Brahman effulgence. But it sometimes so happens that a miscreant like Ajamil is immediately promoted to the Vaikuntha Loka simply by chanting the name of Narayana. Although when Ajamil uttered this vibration, he intended to call his son Narayana, Lord Narayana took it seriously and immediately gave him promotion to Vaikuntha Loka, despite his background, which was full of sinful activities. Similarly, King Daksha was always engaged in the pious activities of performing sacrifices, yet simply because of creating a little misunderstanding with Lord Shiva, he was severely taken to task. The conclusion is, therefore, that the Supreme Will is the ultimate judgment. No one can argue upon this. A pure devotee therefore submits in all circumstances to the supreme will of the Lord, accepting it as all auspicious. Tate nu kampam submit susamekshamano bhujana hivatma kritam vivakam vidvapapurvir vidadam namaste jivete yo mukti pade sadaya vak. That's from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, text 8. The purport of this verse is that when a devotee is in a calamitous condition, he takes it as a benediction of the Supreme Lord and takes responsibility himself for his past misdeeds. In such a condition, he offers still more devotional service and is not disturbed. One who lives in such a disposition of mind, engaged in devotional service, is the most eligible candidate for promotion to the spiritual world. In other words, such a devotee's claim for promotion to the spiritual world is assured in all circumstances.
Vam karma nam mangala mangala hunam gartu swalokam dhanushe swaparam vap amangalanam chata mishramuvanam vipariyagye kena tadeva kasyachit.
So Om Gana Timiranda Shah Giranjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I'm very happy to be here speaking to all you great Vaishnavas. This is one of my favorite temples. You can actually feel the transcendental mood of ecstasy here because of the kirtans and the enthusiastic devotees and, of course, the dedicated worship of the deities. So the purport of this verse is quite important. But let's speak a little bit about philosophy first. A little bit about the Vedas. Okay. So you have the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Veda. And these four Vedas are as follows. Of course, the Rig Veda is the Veda of hymns, mostly to the demigods. And ultimately, of course, there is an indication of the worship of Vishnu. Om Tad Vishnu Paramampada Pashanti Yat Surya. But still, for the most part, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vayachaya Veda Nish Trigunya Bhavarjana Niradvandvo Nityasatvashto Nir Yoga Kshema Atmavan. Everybody knows that verse?
Yes.
So, some of the devotees don't know that verse. Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Krishna says, the Vedas are mainly meant for dealing with the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Nishtray gunya bhavarjana. So, Arjuna, you're a pure devotee, Krishna is saying. I'm paraphrasing this verse. You're supposed to rise above the three modes of material nature and be established in the self and don't be influenced by the duality of this material world. So, don't be immersed in this trigunya or the Vedic instructions, which are for those in the modes of goodness, passion, or ignorance. So the Rig Veda, mainly it's for those who are in different modes of nature in the material world. And of course, you have the Sama Veda, the Veda of the different hymns, that is, hymns in terms of the musical arrangements and the rhythm of chanting the Vedic mantras. And you have Rig, Sama, Atharva, Yajur. Yajur Veda is the Veda of the sacrifices, where everyone is going swaha, swaha, swaha. You know, havans, sacrifices, yajnas. And there's many, many descriptions of elaborate sacrifices there. And of course, you have the Atharva Veda. The Atharva Veda is quite interesting because it deals with supplementary matters, such as the Kshatriya's duties, the how to curse the Brahmins, cursing other people, like you find in the Vedic literature. There's so many stories, especially in Mahabharata, of Brahmins cursing people. So the Atharva Veda has stuff like that in it. All right. So these Vedas, mainly, if you read them, you'll become confused, as stated in the Mahabharata. Tarko pratishta shuti na navina. That the Vedas are so multifarious, you'll become confused, and you'll ultimately want to follow the karma process. That is something like the understanding of the karma mimamsa philosophy. That if you do things nicely, karma mimamsa philosophy means if God exists, or if he doesn't exist, it really doesn't make a difference. Because if you do things nicely, you'll get your result. Like if you do your swaha, you know, yajnas nicely, you'll get your result. And if you perform other sacraments, chant your mantras perfectly, you'll get the result. It doesn't matter if there's God or if there's not God. So this is the understanding people get from the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Of course, Krishna himself, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, presented this Karma Mimamsa philosophy to Nanda Maharaj. But basically, it was to try to convince Nanda Maharaj not to worship Indra. It wasn't actually Krishna's philosophy. No, so that's the Karma Mimamsa. It's called the Purva Mimamsa. And also there's something called the Uttara Mimamsa, which is the Vedanta philosophy. So we understand that, yes, there are karmic activities in this material world. I mean, what you do, you get a reaction for. That's a natural understanding. It's one of the first things we learn as devotees, that for every action you get a reaction. But above all that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Krishna can turn the auspicious into inauspicious, or the auspicious inauspicious into the auspicious by his will. We find many devotees, they become absorbed in astrology. Just like recently, there was a book written by one of our members, How to Ruin Your Life with Astrology. You understand? So someone will look at the stars, expert astrologer, and they'll say to someone, particularly the astrologers say, oh, actually most astrologers nowadays are interested in making money, but let's say you find a good astrologer. The astrologer will say, oh, I see that you're going to have some spiritual trouble next year. Rahu is in the wrong position. You're in your Saturn period. And then the devotee will say to the temple president, the reason I can't get up for Mangalarti is I'm in my Saturn period. It says in my astrology, in my palm. Also, they read the palms, you know, they read the palms. That I'm going to have spiritual trouble for the next 5 years. Just wait 5 more years and I'll be good devotee. So this is also like this Karma Mimamsa philosophy. And these astrologers, they also tell people about their marriages. They say, oh, you're going to have trouble with your wife, you're going to have trouble with your husband, better you find another one. And I see there is another wife, another husband in the future for you. Much better. So in this way, utilizing the, Trigunya, they're actually advising people in a contrary way that goes against their spiritual interests. As Prabhupada said, when we chant and we dance, especially when we clap our hands, all the karma, our fortune becomes changed. Prophet said that he has made our good fortune. That is, previously, most of us didn't have so much good fortune. We had bad karma. But when you take up this process of Krishna consciousness, then everything changes. Then even if you have a Saturn period, the Saturn period becomes a good period. Just like I had one astrologer tell me, oh, you're going to go through a very austere period. So, what happened? It was a good period. Because, in this way, I was able to focus less on material things and more on spiritual things. So he's looking at it from a material perspective. So devotees, they see everything as fortunate, everything as the will of the Lord. And there's many examples given in the Vedic literatures of this, how a devotee is put in difficulty, and the devotee not only sees it as the mercy of the Lord, but he asks for more. And of course, the typical example is Queen Kunti. Look what happened to Queen Kunti. Continually subjected to difficulties. I mean, her husband died, and then the Kurus attempted to kill her children in so many ways. They poisoned poor Bhimsen. Duryodhana, he gave poison to Bhimsen, threw him in the river, and somehow or other Bhimsen was freed by the bite of the serpents, and he became more powerful. Then they tried to put all the Pandavas in a house of lac, and the Pandavas escaped. Continually there were these threats. So you would think that Queen Kunti or any of us would pray to Krishna, stop it already. Isn't it? We would say, all these difficulties are coming, Krishna, no more! No more difficulties. But Queen Kunti, she prayed, Tatra, Tatra, Jagat Guru. Again and again, send these difficulties. Why? Apunar Bhava Darshanam. Because I don't want to see birth and death in the material world. Prabhupada said an easy life and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. If everything was perfect, if everything went nicely, if the weather was always nice, for example, it gets very hot here in the summer, right? No? Doesn't get hot in the summer? Does it get hot in the summer here?
Very hot. Very hot.
50 degrees sometimes, right? And the winter, it's cold. And if it was always perfect, guess what? You would have no impetus to surrender. You'd be thinking it's perfect. The mangoes are growing on the trees. Everything is perfect. It is wonderful. And then you wouldn't surrender to Krishna. It's like the heavenly planets. In the heavenly planets, people don't get sick. People don't get old. The demigods don't get sick, don't get old. Nobody smells bad. It's described that they, heavenly society girls, they smell so fragrant. For Yojana, 8 miles. And so there are rivers of mango juice. The mangoes are as big as this building. Can you imagine that? Mangoes as big as this building. That would be wonderful. But there's no impetus to surrender to Krishna. Except sometimes the demons they are attacking. Jai. Shishi Radha Paritha Sarati Lalita Vishaka Shishi Gornatai Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman. Srila Prabhupada Jai. So there's no impetus to surrender to Krishna. I'll give you a practical example in this world. Prabhupada said that if there's any nice place on this planet, it's in an island called Hawaii. Anyone here has heard of Hawaii? Hawaii is in the South Pacific Ocean. Prabhupada said, if there's any nice place, it's Hawaii. Okay. So in the South Pacific Ocean, it is so wonderful that the temperature is always like 25, 28 degrees every day. 365 days of the year. The mangoes are always growing from the trees. The bananas are always there. The ocean is always beautiful. So we think, oh, very nice place for Krishna consciousness. But I was the GBC there for a few years, and it was the worst place for Krishna consciousness. The worst. I'll tell you what happened. I would sit down to give Bhagavatam class. One thing. I would sit down to give Bhagavatam class and nobody was there. And I would say, where are all the brahmacharis? And the answer was, I may have to explain what this is. They said, surf is up. Surf is up means in the ocean there are waves. Here you don't have ocean. But in the ocean there are waves. And there is these people who go on the waves. They're called surfers. You've heard of that before? Yes, Prabhupada said they're sufferers. They wait for waves. They stay out there waiting an hour for the perfect wave. They ride it, and they think this is enjoyment. So all the brahmacharis were surfing in the morning. Because the perfect time, the best time to surf is 8 o'clock in the morning, Bhagavatam class. And then they would come back for prasadam. Then they would go to sleep. Then they would eat their mangoes. And that was the temple. Very difficult to manage. Very, very difficult to manage. It was just eating, sleeping mess. So that was my experience of Hawaii. And the people there, very political too. Very, very difficult situation. So there's perfect situation. And it was miserable for Krishna consciousness. And so when you have difficulties, it helps you become Krishna conscious. If you see Krishna behind the difficulties. Because it is not due to your karma. Of course, we take the blame, as mentioned by Prabhupada in this verse, Tatteinu Kampam Sushumikshamana, that if something bad happens, we think it's a token reaction. But actually, it's administered, organized, managed by Krishna directly, to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. And we should not think it is due to the laws of karma. Or we should not blame the person who is giving us miseries. Here's another example from the Bhagavatam. You have the story of Dharma the bull. First canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma the bull was being beaten by the personality of Kali. Kali Yuga. And he was standing on one leg and urinating. And of course, the legs of Dharma the bull represent the principles of religiosity. Cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity. And the one leg remaining is truthfulness. But we see now in Kali Yuga, even that is practically gone. You know, politicians, leaders of society, who knows if they're telling the truth? So much corruption. So he was standing on one leg and urinating, and Parikshit Maharaj comes, and he sees this Kali person who is dressed as a king, which is very interesting too, because when a Shudra takes on the position of a Kshatriya or a king, there's havoc in society. Prabhupada said the system of democracy is a system where the vices take charge. And the system of communism is where the Shudras take charge. Communism means the Shudras are in charge. Democracy means the vices are in charge. Just like you see in any country, I mean, I can comment on America because I don't want to be political here, that what determines whether someone is elected? It's the money. Because they have to pay so much money to run for election. And even in America, when the Congress wants to pass some sort of law, then you have the people who come who are paid by the corporations to influence them. So that is Vaishya. So generally Vaishya and Shudra who are in charge of the different countries in the world. Very seldom will you find a Kshatriya. Very, very seldom a real Kshatriya. So this Kali, he was dressed like a Kshatriya. And he was beating the bull. And Parikshit Maharaj asked the bull, who is doing this? Now, naturally, any of us would say, that's the guy, that's Kali. Kill him! Wouldn't we say that? Kill him! Attack him! But Dharma the bull said, it is very difficult to ascertain. And then he spoke a lot of different philosophical points. Of course, this is a very interesting part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But ultimately, the conclusion was is that it's an arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it says in the Bhagavatam that if you blame the perpetrator, that is, the person who is doing that to you, if you think he is the guilty one, you think he is the actor, then you are just as much, what would the English word is, culpable, blamable, or responsible for that act as he is. It's an interesting statement. You're just as much responsible. Let's say someone is attacking you on the street. Of course, you should defend yourself. I'm not saying you say, Hare Krishna, hit me. That is not intelligent. But let's say he's attacking you. And then you get angry and blame him, and you say, I want him beaten up. That means you are just as much responsible for that action as he is. Because that circumstance by which you've gotten attacked has been arranged by Krishna. And you have to learn something from it. What can you learn from it? Material world's a miserable place. That's a good lesson. Got to take shelter of Krishna's names. That's another good lesson, isn't it? There are so many lessons we can learn. So all of us, we have things happen to us. Unfortunate things. And pleasant things. And the interesting thing is, Krishna says, for those who I especially favor, yashyaham anugrananam me, hrished tadanam shanahai. You all know that verse? No. He says, for those who I give my mercy to, I take things away. Of course, I don't want to frighten anybody from becoming a devotee of Krishna. I take things away. But then Krishna gives you back everything. Let's give the example of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had, before he took sannyas, he had family and everything like that. And of course, his family was not so cooperative with his Krishna consciousness. His wife would sell his bhagavatams for tea biscuits. His wife would take a feather duster and blow the dust in the face of Prabhupada's guests when Prabhupada would want to preach at home. You probably haven't heard that story before. Prabhupada would be preaching to some nice guests, and she would go with, you know, feather duster, you know, broom. She would go like that in their faces. Can you imagine doing that to a guest? I mean, that's completely against Vaishnava etiquette, Vedic etiquette. It said even if you stare at a guest, then the vultures of hell will come and pluck your eyes out. So you have to have nice hospitality. So she would do that. So literally, Krishna took everything away from Prabhupada. He made Prabhupada's household life miserable. He made Prabhupada's business fail. And then Prabhupada dedicated his whole life to Krishna consciousness. And guess what? Prabhupada got so many children. Instead of a few children who wouldn't listen to him, instead of a wife who wouldn't listen to him, then Krishna gave, like Prabhupada said, his father said, Krishna has 10 arms. With those 10 arms, he can take everything away. You can't protect yourself. And he can also give you everything, and you can't keep him from giving you everything. So what happened is that Srila Prabhupada became successful in the sense he had thousands and thousands of children who were ready to do anything for him. They were ready to die for Srila Prabhupada. That's how our movement expanded. When Srila Prabhupada came to America and he sent the devotees out, they went to countries with no money, no material facility, just depending on Srila Prabhupada and Krishna's mercy. They would do anything for Prabhupada. And many, many times devotees did get sick, many times devotees died. When the devotees first went to India to preach, Prabhupada, of course, called them the dancing white elephants. They had no facility. They had to just camp out in the middle of fields in Mayapur and have all the mosquitoes eat them. They didn't even know how to use mosquito nets. Like one time, one person said to Prabhupada, "Your devotees are not using mosquito nets at night." And Prabhupada said, "They're transcendental." So they didn't have any, but they were ready to do anything Prabhupada wanted. And not only brahmacharis, but ladies, grahastas. I mean, there were so many grahastas who went to England and other places to preach Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada got an army of children. Instead of a few children who were disobedient, wanted to take his money from him. Actually, in the material world, sometimes it's described that the children and wives are like legal thieves. You know what a legal thief is? A legal thief means that if you're on the street and a dacoit attacks you, of course, here you don't call for the police because the police are paid by the dacoits. But anyway, but you will say, "Help, help! Save me!" But if you go home and your family takes all your money, you'll say, "This is love." That's called a legal thief. One thief is not legal, goes to the prison. Another thief, it's love. So Prabhupada got children who gave him money. And then Prabhupada not only had so many surrendered children, he became like most successful businessman in India. So many lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of rupees every day selling his books. What was Prabhupada's product? His books. Just like here in Delhi, you are famous for book distribution. Now, Prabhupada said, "That is our family business." Prabhupada referred to us as his family. He said, "That is our family business is distributing books." Nothing. Other things, little, but mostly book distribution. And our movement has spread through book distribution. People read the books, they become devotees. So many stories like that. I'll tell you one story. The devotees went to Brazil one time, into the jungles of Brazil, and they found this lady with Prabhupada's books. And she had pictures of Prabhupada, pictures of Krishna in her home, and simply by reading the books, she became devotee. There's so many stories, and of course, I'm sure you know some of these stories. So in other words, Krishna took everything away from Prabhupada and then gave Prabhupada everything. So in the same way, Krishna will take away things that are not helpful to our devotional service. And he will give us everything. We have to have that faith. Yasya devi para bhakti yata devi tata kuru ta chaite katitari artha prakashate mahatmana. If one has faith in Krishna, faith in the Vedic literatures, faith in the spiritual master, then whatever happens to you, you take it as Krishna's mercy. And if you don't, as described, you're in Maya. As described in the Chaturshloka, the Bhagavatam, Ritayavatam na pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani, tadvijaya datmanomayam yata vasha yata tama. If you see anything as not connected with Krishna, this is one of the four nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam. If you see anything as not connected with Krishna, then that is Krishna's illusory energy. Krishna, and also in the Gita, Krishna says, "One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost. He is a friend, and I am in him." So that has to be our consciousness. And as far as this karma mimamsa thing, worship of the demigods, that's another big thing, especially here in India. I do a lot of preaching in Fiji, which is mostly people from India there. And they're very much into demigods. And what happens is when some young man or young woman joins the Krishna consciousness movement, the parents get very upset. And they say, "How can you give up worship of Durga, Ganesh?" And they list all the 33 million demigods. There's 33 million of them. And They tell the child, your life will be ruined. And so if their son happens to get sick, they say, that's because you didn't worship Ganesh. Or that's because you didn't worship Durga. And so we have this firm faith simply by worshiping Krishna. Shraddha Shabde, Visha Sakahe, Sudrida Nischaya. That is the definition of faith according to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. We have this firm faith that simply by worshiping Krishna, everything is accomplished, everything is taken care of. Following the directions of Srila Prabhupada. And we don't worry about our karma. Whatever your karma is, who cares? Whatever your horoscope says, who cares? They call it a horoscope. You understand? Horoscope. Scope means to see. Horror means to see horror. Whatever it is, I mean, who cares? You just chant, you dance. And the worst thing is, worst thing that happens, you die and go back to Godhead. It's not so bad. That is our Krishna consciousness. Okay, so these are some of the points. I have many other points I could make from this particular verse and purport, but we want to leave time open for questions. So any questions or comments?
Thank you, Maharaj. You gave very nice explanation of the purport of Srila Prabhupada. And one thing, Brahma is making a point that this is very much confusing. Also, he is saying Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a different thing. But the point Brahma is making, sometimes it becomes very much confusing.
Yeah.
So Brahma is also confused. Sometimes Yamraj is also confused. So we see in the story of Padmapuram. In Padmapuram, there was one hunter and he was very much sinful and he went to the shore of Narmada River and there the people were following the vows of Kartik. So they were worshipping, they were chanting hymns and chanting Kirtan. Dancing so much. And he was just seeing because he was simply very much sinful and he was not knowing anything. So he was just thinking of what kind of these things we are doing. And he was surprised to see because he did not have any experience of this kind of life. And one snake came and he bit on his feet and he left the body. So when he went to the court of Yamaraj, Chitragupta was reading his karma, and Chitragupta told, no pious activity, all sinful activity. So Yamaraj ordered he should be sent to the Kumbhipak. Kumbhipak had to oil it, oiling, and he was put in the oil. But the oil became cool. So Yamaraj was also very much confused. How come? He has not done any pious activity and the oil has become cool due to him. Then Naradji came. So Yamaraj was telling his confusion to Naradji. Then Naradji told that since he was seeing those people who were performing worship of Narayan, chanting the names of Narayan, then he was just seeing, he was taking 1/6 of their karma. And in this way he has got so much punya karma. Now he is not eligible for hell. So he cannot suffer the hellish condition. Then he was given the body of Yaksha. So like this. So much confusing sometimes.
Yes. Yes. If one simply performs a jnata sukriti, then he's saved from hell. That means devotional service without knowing. If one chants the holy name, Namabash, even without knowing, if he just says, you know, Rama, or just like the story of Valmiki, Ratnagar, before Valmiki became Valmiki, he chanted Mara, 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 and he was really bad before he became Valmiki. He used to stop people in the street and kill them and rob them. You all know that story. And he stopped the Saptarishis It's a very interesting story. The Sapta Rishi said, okay, we'll give you money, but first you have to ask your wife whether and children whether they'll accept your karma. So this Valmiki Ratnakara, previously was known Ratnakara, he went to his wife and children and he said, will you accept my karma for doing all these sinful activities? And they said, no. You make the money, we take the money, you get the karma. That's called legal thief again, you know. They said, hell no, you know, you get all the karma, we get the money. So then he learned about love in the material world. He thought, wow. Then he went to the Saptarishis, and then the story is he chanted this Mara Mara Mara, which became Ram Ram Ram. So it's described, Aho Vataswa Pachato Garyanya Jivagri Vartate Namatubhyam. That if one is chanting Krishna's name, then automatically he comes to the platform of Brahman. He doesn't have to go through many births. Here's another funny story. Actually, just thought of this story. This is a story from the Mahabharata. Once upon a time, there was a worm. And the worm was crossing the road very fast, because there was a ox cart coming. And Srila Vyasadeva was there. And he said to the worm, why are you going so fast? And the worm said, because there's a cart, ox cart coming. And Srila Vyasadeva said, well, if you die, then in your next life you'll take a higher birth. Maybe you become a bird or something. Next life, higher, higher, higher. After maybe a few thousand or million species of life, you'll become a Shudra. And then after that, you'll become a Vaishya. And I'll be your guru. And after that, you'll become Kshatriya, I'll become your guru. After that, you become Brahman, you'll become your guru. And after that, you'll go back to Godhead. And the worm said, heady ball. So, and the worm stayed in the road, and he got run over. Squish. And then in next life, higher, higher, next life, higher, next life, higher. So it was like, maybe, not the whole 8,400,000, but just maybe 7 million. And then he went back to Godhead. So that's the normal procedure if you don't chant Hare Krishna. That you have to elevate yourself gradually. That's the karma philosophy, you know, the karma mimamsa or the karma kanja process. But we understand that if one simply chants the Lord's names and performs the Vaishnava activities, then automatically he's Brahman. He doesn't have to take a next birth. Just like one time, there was one ritualistic Brahmin who came to Prabhupada's disciples, and he said to them, if you actually do your service nicely, in your next life you'll get a chance to be a Brahmin. And then the devotees went to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, this is what he said. And he said, you can go back to him and say, if you do your Brahman activities nicely, your next life you'll get a chance to join the Hare Krishna movement. So the point is, simply by taking up devotional service, we don't have to worry about these other things. And we do, of course, have to cultivate the mode of goodness, you know, Sama Dhamma Kapaksho Chum. That's true too, but that's part and parcel of devotional service. You don't have to get involved in karma, kanda, activities at all, or worshipping the demigods. We respect the demigods. Just like recently, you had Shivaratri, right? You celebrated Shivaratri here. Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu. We worship Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava. We give Lord Shiva Vishnu Prasad. He likes that. For example, I have one of my disciples comes from Bhubaneswar. You know Bhubaneswar? In Bhubaneswar, what they do, that's the abode of Lord Shiva. They take the Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath and they bring it every day for Lord Shiva to take. And Lord Shiva is very happy. And there's that story in the Chaitanya Mangal when Lord Shiva got that Mahaprasad from Narada Muni. He started dancing in ecstasy. And Parvati had to stop him. She said, stop, you're going to destroy the universe. And she said, why are you dancing? He said, I got my prasadam. And she said, did you save any for me? And he said, no, you're the material energy. Material energy doesn't get my prasadam. Then she got very angry. She said, I will show you. I am also Vaishnavi. And then Lord Vishnu appeared. And she distributes Mahaprasad. So our movement is simple. We chant, we dance, we worship the deities, distribute a lot of Srila Prabhupada's books, we give out prasadam to everybody. It is so nice. And you don't have to worry about so many other things. It's simply a disturbance in the mind, worshiping about, worrying about karma, karma stuff. Okay? Yeah. Microphone?
Maharaj, very nice. Like you said, this subtle point, you said that when that dharma is not saying the who is the, and the who is causing this, he is saying that if we say that he is causing, so that person also become offended.
Yes.
But in day to day life, we have to.
Yes, I'll explain. Yes, day-to-day life, obviously, if someone attacks you, a dacoit comes, then, you know, if the police are there, you say arrest them. Yes. But if you start to hate that person, develop that, what we call animosity, hate, a negative attitude towards that person, and blame him for that personally, then you're culpable. You could be blamed. In other words, you get a reaction for that. Because a Vaishnava doesn't hate anyone. He's a friend to everyone. Our Lord Kapiladev states this about the qualities of a Vaishnava. Tatikshava kurunika. Surada sarvadehina. Ajata shatrava. Shanta Sarva Sarabhushana. That's Lord Kapiladev's statement. That we have no enemies. Also Lord, not Lord, but King Yudhisthira. He's described as Ajata Shatru. He whose enemy is never born. So we should not think, unless you're a Kshatriya, you know, it's your duty to do something like that. But it's... Personally, you should not see anyone as an enemy. Because no one is capable of hurting you unless Krishna allows that. Unless Krishna allows that. Yes, you should get someone arrested if they attack you, obviously. You should defend yourself if someone attacks you. You should defend someone else if someone attacks them. That is natural. But to harbor or to think in your heart hatefully about someone, that is not a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava does not hate anyone or have any animosity. He loves everyone. Even those who attack, that's the trick. I mean, another point is, I advise the devotees, if you really want to learn mercy, when you chant, you should be praying for the person who hates you. You pray for the person who hates you, who attacks you. You pray for his benefit. Like Haridas Thakur, he was being beaten. 22 marketplaces, right? And what was he doing? He was interested in the welfare of the people who were beating him. He was praying for them. And so when he asked them, what is the problem? They said, well, you're not dying, we're going to get in trouble. So he immediately went into samadhi, trance. Because they were worried. He was concerned with them. Can you imagine? That's the Vaishnava is so compassionate. Or what to speak of Lord Nityananda and Jagai Mata. Same thing, right? Jagai Mata, he hit Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda didn't say to Lord Chaitanya, kill him, cut his neck off. Sudarshan Chakra, immediately. He said, forgive him. And even you have, in the Christian world, you have the example of Jesus Christ on the cross, He was being pinned to the cross, and he said, "Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do." So that's a Vaishnava. So if you really want to advance in Krishna consciousness, then if someone attacks you or someone criticizes you, actually worse than attack is criticism. Earlier in this canto, it's mentioned that the harsh words of relatives are more painful than an attack, you know, a knife or a physical attack. So if someone criticizes you, actually you're supposed to think he's my friend. But if someone criticizes you, then you should figure out how to be compassionate with that person and pray for them. You will make so much spiritual advancement if you pray for those who criticize you. It's easy to pray for those who serve you. You know, someone comes up, brings you nice prasadam. "Oh, please bless me, Maharaj." Okay, bless. Sannyasis are in the blessing business. Someone gives you a donation, even more blessings. Bigger donation, bigger blessings. You want the 10 rupee blessing? Or 1 lakh rupee blessing? The price list we have. But you have to be ready to bless someone who hates you. That is Vaishnava. That is the example of Haridas Thakur. So many examples. Yeah. You bless them. Lord Nityananda. So many, I can think of so many stories with Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda and the dacoits, they were trying to attack him. And he gave them pure devotional service. So we should follow that example of Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada specifically installed Gornitai deities for us. So many times people outside our movement, Gaudiya Math, they may ask, "Why not Gauri Vedanta?" But Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, especially Lord Nityananda, is absolutely necessary for us to save us and for us to imbibe or take the mood of Lord Nityananda so we can save others. So that is how, I mean, obviously we protect ourselves, but we don't hate anybody. We should love, basically we should love everybody. Surda sarva dehinam. So, another question. Microphone.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Like in one of the Prabhupada's conversation, I read that when one of the devotees is leaving body, that he'll enjoy millions of years of heavenly comforts. But the aim is going back home. He said at one point that. And the second question was, like you get into difficulties, that's normal in material life. Like you know for sure that because of certain mistakes you have done, you got into a difficulty. At that point, how do you see Krishna's arrangement?
Well, you see Krishna's arrangement, as Prabhupada said here in the purport, as a token reaction for your past sinful activities. Krishna, token reaction means Krishna is reducing. I was meant to get my head cut off, instead just get a little scratch. You understand? That's how you see the difficulties. I deserve this reaction, but then the test is, Ritdhad Vapurvir Vidadam Namaste. Jivedayo Mukti Pade Siddhayava. The test is you go on serving Krishna with your heart, your body, your mind, and your words. That's the test. Now, as far as your first part of the question about heavenly planets, that's Prabhupada was simply repeating what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that if you die and you're not very advanced in Krishna consciousness, first you go to the heavenly planets. Then you come down here to be born in a rich family. And if you die and you're very advanced in Krishna consciousness, you take birth in a family of Vaishnavas. That's Prabhupada was citing that aspect or instruction in the Gita. I think we have to end now because everybody's running away. Oh, prasadam time is fixed. We don't want anyone to miss prasadam and suffer the miseries of hunger. That would be Krishna's mercy too. We're not ready for that much mercy. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.